talk loud enough, I can get to your mic.
I can hear your heartbeat when you do that.
Sure, you can.
Heartbeat. Yeah, you can listen to mine.
No, I can't hear it. Do it again.
Oh, the mic's also, that one's turned down low, and so is this one. So since it's just the three of us right now for the mic check, and we do publish the mic check as a, or most of the mic check, as a bonus track for people who are so inclined. Oh, this one's, there we go, there's me.
What should we talk about?
I was going to say, since it's three people who have been in hospitality for at least a while and are still somewhat, you know, maybe best and or worst hospitality experience, either something where you were on the service side, or maybe since we have more of a trained eye for hospitality at this point, where you've seen other people fail horribly.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
Just something where all of us can relate. I don't know. I mean...
No, it's good. I like that.
Because, like, on last Friday, I went to Stella's for my friend's birthday, and we were just going to be sat kind of in the back of the main dining area, and lo and behold, we saw the chef's table and thought, oh, hey, cool, we're going to see what the chef's table's like, see what treatment they get. And the hostess said, oh, you know, it's actually open tonight if you just want to take it. And so they said, yeah, we'll take it. So they set it up for us, and we just didn't get the actual chef's table service. We didn't get all the wine that goes with it and the actual course-by-course introduction into things, but it was just kind of halfway in the kitchen, halfway out of the kitchen, and getting to watch stuff, and the chef did come by a couple times and chatted with us for a second and a half when he had the moment, and then every now and then somebody would say, oh, what's that, as it's going out, and the chef brought us like some shrimp to snack on and some loaded hash browns and some really cool stuff, and was willing to come by and chat with us, which was a really fun experience that just happened by chance. So that was a good experience. I don't have a...
Oh, yeah, nice. I was like, I thought it was supposed to be a bad experience.
I was just trying to get the ball rolling a little bit.
Well, I think that, you know, being in the restaurant industry, a lot of us probably recognize, you know, when guests need something at another table.
Right.
And then the time starts counting in your head, the clock,
mm-hmm.
and it's just painful waiting with the other table while they need something or they want to pay or, you know, they need refills. And you've noticed it, but no one else
exactly
noticed it.
Or, like, even at that chef's table, somebody ordered one of each oyster that was available that day.
Oh, wow.
And dropped them off. And it was only three different types that were available that day. But, they just, like, a server just dropped it off and walked away. It's like, there is a difference which one is which, so which is it? And it wasn't until we flagged down a kitchen worker and had them come over to actually explain it to us, because no one else would stop by.
He flagged by the dishwasher. Excuse me?
I actually kind of was on the fence. Was like, I don't know. Like, they were just wearing an apron. They weren't wearing a chef's jacket or a cooking jacket or anything. It's like, I don't know what rank we're talking to at this point. But they did actually know, so we lucked out there. But it was just like, we're bothering random people because we don't know what oysters we have.
Well, and actually, I read an article recently about oysters. And they, when they farm oysters for pearls, they force feed them grits to overproduce.
That sounds right.
So think about that the next time you buy pearl earrings, John.
Well, I'm okay with that.
Okay, so I actually thought that we were going for like an extreme story.
Oh, yeah. Well, I just came off of something that, you know, recent, so I could really come up with something quick for you. So
okay. John, you go first.
Well, I think the worst was probably when I had come in on my night off to the bar.
Weird.
And was sitting there, and a guest at 104, so like three tables over, started choking and passing out.
Was this at Masu?
Yes.
Oh my god.
And her friends didn't know what to do, so I hopped over there, and unfortunately, I think I had to swipe the mouth. And
what do you mean? Unfortunately, I think I had to. Like, did you black out in this saving moment, or like?
It was all a blur. It was all a blur. All I know is I had to wash my hands thoroughly afterwards.
Oh God!
And then she denied going to the hospital, which I don't know.
Well, for choking, I mean it. Maybe if she had actually like blacked out, passed out, something like that. I was like,
oh, she passed out.
Oh, she was done.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
She passed out, and then the choking was a result of that.
Oh, I thought it was like, okay, this is leading up to a really cool Heimlich maneuver, but it goes into somebody else's mouth, so you have to save the next person too, like domino effect.
That would be wonderful.
It'd be weird, but fun. Though that's probably like happened in a movie or something.
She denied going to the hospital?
Yeah, no. The police or the ambulance came, and she said she was fine. She was foreign, though, I think, so maybe that had something to do with it.
Well, at least it wasn't like, well, you know, if you had to thoroughly wash your hands, that means she probably like, threw up everywhere. She can't get you for food poisoning now.
That's right.
Gross, John.
So is it
when
just like
this happen?
There also wasn't a server in the area to or a manager or anything other than, you know, off duty you?
Well, you know, there were, but, you know, being there as the GM, I just kind of hopped in and everyone kind of took my lead. The supervisor was busy calling the Mall of America security and the police or, you know, ambulance.
Oh, God.
So it was a fun night. And then someone else threw up a week later.
I had that, too.
I was hoping it would just be like that same night. It's just a shitstorm of issues.
No. Stuff like that happens, though.
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
And both of us worked at the Mall of America for restaurants there. It's, you get all walks of life of people.
Well, yeah, you have the state fair type crowd, but year-round.
Year-round, and then people... and so for the state fair, it's just like this, that one, those 2 weeks where... people will come as an event. At the Mall of America, we have those types of people every single day.
Oh, yeah.
That will fly in for no reason. Or, you know, for the Mall of America, for the amusement. So John and I used to see some really crazy shit. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the reason why I don't go to Mall of America anymore. It's just for the crowd. I can't do it.
Believe it or not, I went there on Saturday with one of my girlfriends.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, you'd posted, like, I'm going to MOA.
Like, why am I here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Most of the time, I usually post, like, I'm going to MOA, pray for me.
Yeah.
I think that if the Mall of America did not have the theme park in the middle of it, I think it would be okay.
No, I think the theme park makes it, you know, like, we remember it as, like, Nickelodeon Land.
No, yeah. I remember it as Knott's Camp Snoopy.
Camp Snoopy. It's Nickelodeon now.
Yeah.
Are you X or Y, Jen?
Am I what?
Were you born? When were you born?
Oh, I'm...
How do you remember it as Camp Snoopy? You're my age, Dan.
Yeah, you do know that the mall didn't exist until 92.
The changeover happened about 8 years ago.
That too.
So if you remember 8 years ago...
I remember when the damn place opened.
You do?
Yeah.
I remember commercials for it, but I only remember...
I remember news broadcasts for it, and the old parking lot across the way with the weird cube signs saying, like, West parking lot and North parking lot and all that stuff before IKEA.
I went to when they blew up the stadium there.
Oh, yeah!
Yeah.
You can't say blow up and Mall of America in the same sentence, John.
I didn't say Mall of America.
Why can't you say that in the same sentence? I blew up a bunch of balloons in the Mall of America. Same sentence.
I saw a mom blow up at her children.
We apparently used to get, like, so many bomb threats, and we had heightened security. We did...
A bunch of reality shows.
Yeah, a bunch of reality shows. We had lockdowns, monthly lockdowns, where we had to practice in case there was, like, a terrorist attack or a bomber or some strange shooting through the mall. We practiced all of these things.
Strange shooting as opposed to the normal shooting.
You know, harpoon gun.
Yeah.
Strange shooting.
Or a javelin. That would be really strange, too. Or, like, from Despicable Me.
Yeah, piranha gun.
Yes, thank you. The piranha gun.
I was thinking fish gun, but, like, that's not really intimidating unless it's a piranha.
Yeah, it's got to have teeth.
Like, goldfish. Because that'd be pretty annoying anyway.
What's mine? I don't know what mine is. I haven't seen it all, but I've seen a lot to where it almost does not surprise me anymore.
Thank you.
Don't do that.
He did help, though.
I know he did.
Are we allowed to touch each other during the podcast?
Do not touch me when you're talking about porn. Can we just skip subject two?
No, I do think that it's worth talking about. I can segue into other things that have nothing to do with it but are still related. Which sounds weird, but accurate.
In a guy's world, everything relates to porn, I think.
So. Well, no, I wasn't saying about porn. I mean about ad trap and reversal.
Yeah.
But there is a big market for porn, so I can understand the thought process as well. Because, I mean, the only thing I can think of is just from a server side, when the worst things actually happened on, I think it was actually Sunday night. The owner of Jake O'Connor's had a big party in the cellar at the restaurant where he invited all of his golf buddies over, and it was about 50 people. And there were people sending back, like, really fucking expensive steaks that were cooked perfectly because, it, like, in their mind, something was wrong with it. Nothing was wrong with it. Like, we all tasted it, and it was beautiful. But they sent all the stuff back, and they were just chewing out these servers and the bartender, and they were just assholes because they were in Excelsior, and they knew they could be assholes.
Yeah.
And it's just like, we as servers, like, most people were cut and just kind of doing their side work and everything, but they'd go into the kitchen while they were there, and just people would be freaking out and just could not handle it.
And you're just witnessing just this meltdown. Oh, my God.
Yeah, the biggest problem in restaurants is when guests think things should be cooked how they cook them at home.
Mm-hmm. Which would probably be charred because that's why they're out to eat anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Most of the time, you know, I know my mom and a lot of other moms cook, you know, food overly done,
mm-hmm.
especially chicken. You know, that's the standard.
Right.
But, yeah, it's when guests think they should be more done than they are.
Mm-hmm. I went to Tug's yesterday with a friend. On Monday nights, they have a cheeseburger special. Amazing. But she goes, how would you like your burger done? And I go, oh, I guess medium, but how do you cook them? She's like, we usually cook them over. And I said, okay, well, I guess I'll do medium rare.
Mm-hmm.
My burger came out, well, he ate his in like four bites, with one with like an egg and bacon. It was just like super loaded up. But I cut mine in half, and it was well done. And I ate it anyways, and I wasn't going to complain because the cheeseburger to me is...
It's a burger.
It's a cheeseburger, right? You know, fine. If you want
to... It's not like...
Exactly.
It wasn't top shelf Angus.
Right.
Crazy.
Right. But so then I was thinking out loud. I'm like, well, why even bother asking me if you know your cook's just going to cook the shit out of every burger, you know? But then I know it's not her fault. Also, on St. Anthony and Main yesterday,
mm-hmm.
there was this guy with a stick and a rope on it, and he was dipping it into this giant bucket of soap water, and he was blowing these...
Bubbles?
These bubbles. Thank you. And they were huge, giant bubbles. And so then he would blow on it, and then bubbles would blow... It would form inside the bubble, and then they'd float away. And then comes me. And I saw him from afar, and I ran up and started popping, trying to pop like every single one.
I was going to say, it landed on your burger and ruined your experience.
No, this is before the burger. Oh, okay. Yeah, which made that experience that much better.
Understandable, I guess.
I don't know. I've never seen that on St. Anthony, have you?
I've seen people do it in general.
Oh, have you, John?
Not on St. Anthony, but yeah, I've seen it done. But there's a lot of interesting folk that hang out down there.
Dan, I just remembered my restaurant story.
There we go.
Yeah, here we go.
Jog your memory.
Yeah, here we go. Well, actually, I don't know why I didn't think about this in the first place, but when we were working at Christos, you know the Saganaki that you light on fire?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can actually tell which hand I used to light it.
Okay. And I remember you told me the hotter the pan, the better.
Yes.
And then more ouzo, the better.
Brandy.
Brandy. Basically, to make a bigger flame, right? And then you and I kind of got into it that summer, where, you know, who could do a better one? Basically,
who could light the ceiling on fire?
We sold the shit out of the Saganaki just so that we could light it on fire. Okay, so I decided to do it for a table. Did I tell you? You had to have been there.
I probably was.
So I got the plate super hot,
mm-hmm.
and then I had all the extra brandy, and then I went to the table and then, you know, threw my hand up, said opa, everything, and this lady screamed at the table and scared me, and so then I kind of pulled my arms back a little, and it spilt on the floor, and the tile was burning for like 30 seconds.
I vaguely remember that.
Like, there's a little mark on the ceiling, and then, you know, there's a trail behind me, and then... I went back and I had like singed off some of my bangs because it was so big.
Yeah, I've lost eyebrows recently. They've come back.
Now, is this a dessert or a beverage?
It's a flaming cheese.
It's actually cheese. Not far off from the flavor of the halloumi that we had. But instead, what they do is they cook it on a flat top in some oil for a little bit. Well, first they bread it and they put it on there so it kind of holds its shape a little bit. And then they throw it into a pan in a plastic plate. And then you pour brandy over it so you can flambe it tableside. And we would always try to outdo each other And then I would always steal Amy's because she hated to do it. And she like then I'd intentionally do it like really big for her tables too, so I could practice. Because she hated it.
She was afraid of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was fun.
That was fun. I liked how Amy was always really reliable too, because you know how back in the day the sides would change and the specials would change, and so we'd all be like punching on the Aloha, like screaming at each other, like, what comes with the chicken? And then you'd hear Amy from like behind in the kitchen screaming this each side. I liked it.
And then they started hanging the specials for us so that we actually knew.
Yeah, I haven't been there in a long time.
We should go and try this flaming cheese.
I've had it many times and it's amazing.
There we go. Let's see.
Go like this.
That's fairly consistent. I can kind of mess around with that later.
I can see it. Adam is even
potentially nearby. Do ET egg? Question mark. So now would be a good time if you'd like another beverage or need a restroom break. This might be a good time to facilitate that while we kind of gear up for the episode potentially, or kind of sit in a holding pattern for a second and a half.